Hare Krishna. Well, I'm very happy to be here with you all. Kishore Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Keshava Maharaj, Hare Krishna. And all of you. Very happy. It's been a few years. Anyway, here we go. So we're reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila Chapter 9. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to the holy places. And we are reading verses 156 to 158. 158 is on the board there. I'll just read through 156 and 157 myself. Right, okay, so here's the translation. And devotees, this is pretty deep. This is not your sort of everyday type of verse. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear different. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, the infallible one, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. Isn't that interesting? That's very interesting. Very beautiful, actually. Okay, and verse 157, and this actually, of course, this is Lord Chaitanya. Well, this is actually Venkata Bhatta, or is it, it's Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, okay, this is Lord Chaitanya, I guess, speaking. Now, Venkata Bhatta says something. So this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Venkata Bhatta, who was a Sri Vaishnav, one of the pujaris at the Sri Rangam temple. If you've been there, the family is still there. And they are traditionally, for I don't know how many hundreds of years, the main pujaris at the Lakshmi temple in Sri Rangam. If you're familiar with Sri Rangam, you go around the back and right down to the end of the main temple. And on the left is the Lakshmi temple, because they don't have the Lord with his consort. They have separate temples. So Lakshmi's down there, and the family still, they're the main ones worshipping Lakshmi there. They're very nice. And if they know you're an ISKCON devotee, they'll stop the queue and have you come through and have darshan and so on. It's just great. So, okay, here we go, verse 157. Venkata Bhatta then said, I am an ordinary fallen living entity, but you are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I won't go into the whole story behind this, I mean, of Lord Chaitanya staying with Venkata Bhatta and then creating this discussion. I'm sure some other devotees have done already that or will do. But here, this is Venkata Bhatta. You know, he's a leading Sri Vaishnav in Sri Rangam, which is, along with Tirupati, they are the two main, like, headquarters, centers of the Sri Vaishnavs. And he's just one of the main people. But now he is becoming convinced that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Person, is Krishna, as he says here. You are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Yeah, so you, Lord Chaitanya, you are Krishna, and Krishna is the ultimate, the source, and not Narayan, as the Sri Vaishnavs normally would have it. So, okay, here we go, verse 158. I hope you can all see it sufficiently. Okay, it's a Bengali verse. Translation. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them. Whatever you say, I accept as the truth. And again, this is Venkatabhatta speaking to Lord Chaitanya. And Venkatabhatta is actually the father of Gopal Bhatta, who became Gopal Bhatta Goswami later on. Okay, so purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the way to understand the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said very much the same thing. So Arjuna said, Sarvam etad ritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur deva nadanava. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. That's Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse 14. It is not possible to understand the truth about the pastimes of the Lord simply by using our own logic, argument, and academic education. We must receive bona fide information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Arjuna received information when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. We have to accept the Bhagavad Gita or any other Vedic literature in good faith. These Vedic literatures are the only source of knowledge about the Lord. We must understand that we cannot comprehend the absolute truth by the speculative process. So, devotees, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read through all the verses, actually. So, 156. Maniryata vibhagena nilapita debiya yuta rupa beda mavapnoti jnana beda tatachita. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear different. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, the infallible one, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. So that's Lord Chaitanya speaking. And, well, Srila Prabhupada says, actually, this very, very short purport. This is a verse quoted from Sri Narada Pancharatra. Means, it's Narada Muni speaking, actually. Okay, verse 157. Bata kahe kahan ami jiva pamara kahan tumi se Krishna sakshat Ishvara. Venkatabhatta then said, I am an ordinary fallen living entity, but you are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. 158. Agada Ishvara lila kichui najani tumi ye kahase satya kari mani. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them. Whatever you say, I accept as the truth. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Jatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkalpa Tarubhyas Jagripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We offer our respects to the Vaishnavas. So this is deep. The first verse, Lord Chaitanya speaking about the Lord manifesting different forms, particularly because the devotees, different devotees, desire to see the Lord in different forms, in different ways. That's their personal taste. So, you know, what comes first? It's an interesting question. The existence of the forms of the Lord, which then the devotees, certain devotees develop special attachment for, and they just want to see him like that. So then, you know, from that time on, he manifests that form for them. Or is it just their desire to start off with? And so then he sort of reacts to their desire. Anyway, Hare Krishna, it's an interesting question. But certainly it's a fact. Lord Chaitanya is stating it there, and Srila Prabhupada, on a number of occasions, Srila Prabhupada makes that point. And different of our acharyas make the point also that whatever came first, but certainly different devotees means not people like us devotees. We're not there yet. But different devotees, just very exalted and elevated and advanced devotees in the extreme, pure devotees in the sort of highest sense of the term, they have tastes in terms of how they particularly like to see the Lord, and the Lord appears to them like that. This is going on. That's part of extremely advanced Krishna consciousness. And like I said, that's not us. It's really not us. And you know, it's such an important thing to not sort of try to get ahead of ourselves, if you know what I mean, in Krishna consciousness, because you can make some real blunders, just too much blunders if you somehow you do that. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada, well, that verse is very, very interesting. The first verse, 156. And then this verse, 158, where Srila Prabhupada gives the purport, that, of course, is also very interesting and very important, that there's no room in Krishna consciousness, particularly for speculation in the sense like the impersonalists speculate. Yeah. Basically for us, the first step is chant 16 rounds without offenses. Once you get there, you can go on to the next step. But sometimes we ask the devotees, who's chanting 16 rounds without offenses? Occasionally you get someone put their hand up, and then you know, he's not quite got it yet. So, yeah, honesty. Honesty is a very important quality for devotees. And not just honesty, but being able to sort of recognize your own position, accept your own position. So Prabhupada makes the point that as Venkata Bhatta, in Sri Vaishnav terms, he's really one of the very elevated ones, actually. He's very elevated. He's probably the head pujari, but he's one of the main pujaris in the Lakshmi temple. And those of you who have been there, you probably know the family's still there, a couple of blocks back from that Lakshmi temple. And on the left, you turn to the left, and then on the right is their house. I'm sure some of you have been there and met the father now, the head. He's really a big man. And they're just extremely nice. They're just really very, very friendly. And they know that Lord Chaitanya stayed with the family. They know it, clearly. And they know what happened. That Gopal, the son of Venkata Bhatta, while Lord Chaitanya was there staying with Venkata Bhatta and the family, Gopal served Lord Chaitanya. That's described here and there. It's described how he did like that. Served Lord Chaitanya very, very nicely as a small boy, basically like 5 or 6 year old boy, something like that. Just a small boy, but kind of like Narada with the Bhaktivedantas, the sages that came to his mother's place as described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Small boy, but just serves the devotees so nicely. And they are just happy to give their mercy, which helps them so much. So with Gopal, he served Lord Chaitanya extremely nicely, very sincerely, and, you know, very astutely. He did everything nicely and very well. And Lord Chaitanya blessed him. Actually, he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya just right then and there, but Lord Chaitanya told him, no, don't do that. You stay and serve your parents, means Venkata Bhatta, who's speaking here, and his wife. You serve them, and in due course, Krishna will arrange. And sure enough, actually, just before they passed away, they gave him permission to go and join Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told him, go to Vrindavan and join Rupa and Sanatan there. So he went, and he became one of the 6 Goswamis, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Yes, they were, what do you call them? Telangana, is it? That branch of Sri Vaishnavism, not the other branch. Can't remember the names offhand. So anyway, here, the point of receiving knowledge about Krishna from authority is being emphasized, not speculating. You know, I remember many, many years ago, actually, when I was staying here, so like 45 years ago, 40 years ago, that one of the devotees out distributing books was given by some Christian preacher who he bumped into on the street. It was actually a little comic book, like sort of this size. I mean, it was really quite small. And I don't know, maybe 20-something pages. And it was about someone who came to God. And it's depicting this in the comic strips, little pictures. And when he meets God, finally meets God, and God is on a throne, probably, I don't know, a lot bigger than Prabhupada's Vyasasan, except God is filling the entire throne, and you can't actually see him. You see this effulgence, and there's some very vague little bit of outline of like a big head, a very big head. But the rest is pretty much just effulgence, and that was it. That was it. There you go. That's, he achieved the goal. Well, you know, the bad news or the news is he didn't really achieve the goal. It's a speculation. They don't really know. They don't have people like Lord Chaitanya giving information directly. They don't have people, God realized people like the six Goswamis and so on, and they don't have a God realized person like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who can actually give them the right information and even the realized information. So it's all, you know, it's vague and confused. And I once saw somewhere, also many years ago, it was another cartoon of God. And God was an extremely elderly person. I mean, older than you or me, Kishore Prabhu. And we're old enough. That's pretty old. Like, he was like a super, what do you call them, geriatric. I tell you what, boy. Gee whiz. Once when I there was a period of time where I was instructed to try to find a new property for us. And in the end, we found Croom Court. But I was looking around, and I went and looked in one, also some, you know, one of these big old mansion-type houses, which was a, well, it was a geriatric place, actually, and like a hospice for people who are just too old. So they showed me around, and in the rooms you get these old people, and you never see people like that, who are that old, normally. Yeah, they're just too old. Yeah. My Lord, way past the sell-by date or any date like that. It's amazing, actually, because you just don't see them. Yeah, older than, you know, people sometimes, nice people, like many Indian, so many Indian families, they keep their grandparents who are old, like beyond 70, 80, something like that. So they do like that. But these people in that place, they were older than that. And each one was sitting like in their world, some sort of world, with no contact with the people sitting in the other chairs. So anyway, there was this picture of God, I was saying, sitting on a cloud, playing a harp. And he looked like, now he's well over 100. Well and truly over 100. So this is all mental speculation. Because they think, God, who's God? What is God? Well, he's the original. He's the first one. Means he's got to be really old. Yeah. And so they, if they try to depict him, they may depict him, well, some of them do depict him like that. But as we know, Lord Brahma says in Brahma Samhita, what does he say? Nava Yovanam Cha, how does that begin? Adyam, Adyam Purana Purusham Nava Yovanam Cha. Adyam, he's the original, he's the first. Adyam Purana Purusham. Purana means not just old, but ancient. You know, I speak a version of kitchen Hindi. I mean, a very limited version, extremely, but, you know, something. And once I called a person who I know in Vrindavan, a local. I told him, oh, ap mera puran bandhu hai, which I thought meant, you're my old friend. You know, we've known each other like 20 years or something. And he looked at me like, what? Because what I had actually said was, you are my ancient friend from a few hundred years ago or something. Yeah, right. So, you know, our good fortune in having, first of all, Srila Prabhupada, and then his predecessors in Parampara and all their writings and the Vedic literatures and so on. It's just incredible, our good fortune. It's definitely, literally incalculable. And it's just, it places Krishna consciousness in a different category. It's just in a different category. Yeah. So that's our good fortune. That's our extreme good fortune. And we have to really apply it, as Prabhupada's saying here, as it's given, and not speculate and try and figure things out for ourselves. And then we'll get the clear picture. Otherwise, you end up, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Gornitai Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Yeah, otherwise, you know, either you just end up confused, or, you know, like Hinduism, for all the, you know, the positive sides of it. Devotee asked Prabhupada once, is it better to be a Christian or a Hindu? Yeah. You can look it up, as I recall, in the Veda base. And Prabhupada said it's better to be a Hindu because, as a starting point, because at least you'll have heard of Krishna and, you know, there's a chance you'll move in that direction without too much trouble. But of course, you've got to watch yourself in Hinduism, because sure, there's a lot of confusion there. In Vrindavan, I know one taxi driver. He has driven me on a number of occasions over the last more than 20 years. And his name is, or what they call him is, Panditji. Seriously. He's a nice fellow. I can introduce you to him. He's quite a good driver. I mean, he's getting a bit old now. So Panditji is from a Brahmin family. And he drove us once, first time he drove us, from Vrindavan to, where is Madan Mohan? What? Huh? Karoli. You can see I'm getting old. I'm becoming expert at forgetting things. Gee. Yeah, so he drove us through Karoli. We stopped for a while. Then to Jaipur by some back road. Panditji. And, you know, he looked like anything other than a pundit. He looked like a taxi driver, actually. And so I didn't know if it was just a nickname, because, you know, these people have nicknames. Another taxi driver I know, his name is Tomato. So, really. So anyway, Panditji, I asked him, Ap Brahman hai? He said, Hanji. And he pulled out this Brahman thread, which was, you know, looked like he'd been wearing it since he was born, or since the family priest gave it to him, you know. 40 years before or something. Sure. So, okay, yeah. And he was, means, you know, he was quite, yeah, I'm a Brahmin. So off we went. We made it to Karoli, had nice darshan of Madan Mohan, then set off on the back road. And it takes you, you meet the main road at a town called Gangapur, and then you turn and you go to Jaipur. So we're driving on this back road, country road, and we come to a junction like a V. It's a V, not a T junction, it's a V. Two roads going off on angles from the road we'd been on. And in the middle was a sign in Hindi only. If you go this way, then it's this town and that town. But if you go to the right, it's Gangapur in Hindi and some other. And so, you know, I can read Hindi. So I saw, okay, Gangapur, this way. All right. Panditji stops in front of the sign and looks at it. And I say, Panditji, look, Gangapur, ye rasta hai. Huh? Gangapur. Huh? He looks at it. But me, of course, I'm just a stupid foreigner. So he doesn't listen to me. He gets out of the car and asks someone on the road, which is the road to Gangapur? And the fellow shows, you know, it is that road. And then off we go on that road. So what does it mean? Well, among other things, it means Panditji is illiterate. Which, anyway, it's just a fact. He couldn't read his own language. And I mean, I taught myself how to read Hindi or Sanskrit. It just took a couple of days to memorize the alphabet. It's not that big a thing. But he couldn't even read the alphabet. Panditji, Haribol. Yeah. They need a lot of mercy. So anyway, yeah, this is the point here. You got to get it from the right source. If you don't get it from the right source, then, gosh, well, you may get the source, actually. The hot chili source of confusion and bewilderment and inevitably and unavoidably make mistakes and do the wrong things, and just end up in the wrong place. And it's a shame. It's really a shame if you've got access to it. Srila Prabhupada said once that when you come to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, you are standing on the threshold of eternity. Threshold means you're at the door, and you just have to step through, and there you are. You're there. That's Krishna consciousness. And you know, these people like Panditji is a bridge busy. Anyway, you know, bridge busies, it may be another story, but in general, the Hindu people are sort of, if not right in the threshold, they're pretty close. And it's a shame if you see them go off in the wrong directions. So anyway, I was reading through these verses yesterday and appreciating particularly, I mean, appreciating all of them, but the first verse, you know, esoteric, but very beautiful verse, very nice verse, about the Vaidurya stone, right? The Vaidurya. It's a gem, a type of gem. It seems that it's not really available nowadays. I mean, at least we don't hear about it. But it, if you touch it to your jacket, suddenly it becomes maroon. If you touch it to your kurta, suddenly it becomes saffron. If you touch it to your t-shirt, suddenly it becomes white, etc. It just manifests, reflects the qualities of whatever it comes into contact with. And so that's the example Lord Chaitanya is giving, that in a similar way, in a similar type of way, when Krishna comes in contact with different devotees who have different attitudes or different, they have different relationships with him, then he manifests that form. Because those devotees, the very elevated devotees, of course, they're extremely dear to Krishna. And Krishna is just not just happy to help them in their Krishna consciousness and even serve them sometimes, but he's happy to assume the particular form that they like. And he does. But, as Lord Chaitanya says, still he, Krishna, remains essentially one. Yeah, just one who accepts many forms. Yeah, and therefore Krishna consciousness, what a science, what a deep science. It's an amazingly deep science. So I was thinking and doing a little reading while studying these verses and thinking about these verses. And there I found, it's Srila Jiva Goswami, this very nice thing. Jiva Goswami says that there are four main differences between Vrindavan here on this planet and Goloka. Vrindavan there, that Vrindavan. Four main differences. First difference, he says, is in Goloka, in the spiritual world, the gopis don't have husbands. Here, in this Vrindavan, at least many of them, they actually have husbands, real husbands. And even Srimati Radharani has Abhimanyu, who's a bit of a, you know, interesting character. But officially, he's a husband, as arranged by Yogamaya. In Goloka, spiritual world, the gopis don't have husbands. Here they have husbands, but they want to meet with Krishna, and they do meet with Krishna from time to time. But suddenly someone comes and says, "Look out, your husband's coming." And they have to get away as quickly as they can. There are many pastimes like that. In Goloka, there's no husbands. But what there are rumors of husbands. Yeah. So sometimes they're meeting with Krishna and someone comes, same type of situation. "Look out, your husband's coming." And they think, oh, he is actually coming because they think they have husbands. But he doesn't come because he doesn't exist. It's just a rumor. But in Gokula here, in Vrindavan here, there is a husband and he is coming. And so they have to get away quickly. In Gokula, here, in Vrindavan here, Krishna apparently takes birth, or something along the lines of birth. It's not exactly birth. He steps out of the womb of Devaki, fully dressed, with a crown on, and jewelry, and so on. Yeah, so, you know, any of you who've given birth, ladies, anyway, let's not talk about it, but he just steps out. It's not that he's actually born as such. He steps out fully dressed and ornamented and starts speaking Sanskrit. And, you know, children normally don't start speaking any sense till I don't know exactly. I haven't had any, but I heard rumors that they have to be more than a year, like 15, 18 months before they can even say mama, papa, something like that. But Krishna just stepped out. There he was. And started speaking in Sanskrit. And not in, you know, kitchen Hindi or some other variation, kitchen Gujarati, but actual Sanskrit. Because he's Krishna. He's God. For him, it's just, you know, it's nothing. So, yeah, so he sort of takes birth here, at least something along those lines. But in Goloka, Jiva Goswami explains, Krishna never took anything like birth. He's just always been there. There never was a leela there where he manifested himself from someone's womb. So that's another difference. Yeah, but still, you know what? There's a rumor. In Goloka, there's a rumor, which everyone accepts. He's the son of Yashoda. Yeah, everyone accepts it. And Yashoda accepts it. Yeah, he's the son of Yashoda, of course he is. But he was never born. Then, in Vrindavan here, when Krishna was here, then there were many demons. Bhagavatam describes a number of them, you know, 21, or maybe it's like 16 or 17 who are actually demons, and they were actually demons. They were real, the real thing. Many of them, about a third or a half of them, became demons because they were cursed by Devasa Muni. In other words, if you ever meet Devasa Muni, head in the other direction quickly, because he's hypersensitive, he's oversensitive. If he sees you sort of glance at him, he'll ask you, what you're looking at? And before you know it, you'll be in trouble. So, yeah, so Devasa Muni, he cursed a whole lot of these people to become demons. So therefore we say Devasa Muni, we say he is a serial curser. It's bad. It's really bad. So there are real demons when Krishna comes. They're real demons. They're actual demons. They're very special people. You know, to meet Krishna and be killed by Krishna, my gosh. It's not just they're just like regular demons, like who you might meet in the street, but they're still demons. But in Goloka, there's no demons, of course. But what are there? What do you get in Goloka? Rumors of demons. Someone comes running into the village. Look out! Agasura is coming! And everyone panics. But Agasura never comes. Because there's no Agasura. It's just some leela by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. So, yeah, so there's no demons in Goloka, of course. How could there be? But sometimes, as part of a game, someone dresses as a demon. And sometimes there appears from who knows where, from somewhere, like a billboard, a big picture of a demon. And the people see it and they think that, wow, it's a demon. And so they panic and they tell everyone there's a demon. just around the corner down the road, there's a demon there. And people go to see, but now there's no billboard there. It was there. And then the fourth difference is a really interesting one between Vrindavan here and Goloka, is that Vrindavan here can be approached by imperfect devotees. So there's special mercy in Vrindavan here. Whereas Goloka Vrindavan, if you're anything other than a perfect devotee, you can't enter. Srila Prabhupada, once you may have heard the story, in Atlanta, he was giving a class, and it was one of those classes, kind of a stern class, you know, like you got to get yourselves together type of class. And at the end, Prabhupada said, yes, to go back to Godhead, you must be 100% pure. And he looked at the devotees, and the devotees were like, who, me? 100% pure? Well, I don't know about that. And Prabhupada saw, you know, the lack of optimism. And Prabhupada said, at least 90%. Then they were still like, well, I don't know about that. Prabhupada said, at least 80%. And he reduced it a couple more times. In the end, Prabhupada said, because he could see they weren't so optimistic. In the end, Prabhupada said, all right, just hold on to my dhoti. I will take you back. Prabhupada said, I have the key for the back door. In other words, when Krishna's not looking, he's in the rasa dance, perhaps. Prabhupada will sneak us through. So that's, you know, that's our hope, really. You know, our hope. You know, it's one thing to think, I must become a pure devotee, in that sense of pure devotee, you know, the ultimate sense. And of course, we must try our level best. Prabhupada also said, in Krishna consciousness, there's no place for lazies or crazies. So we must not be lazy. We must actually try our best, which, you know, varies from person to person. Actually, we were talking yesterday in Soho Street about the Damodar Leela and the rope being two fingers too short. You remember that. It's a famous aspect of the pastime. The rope's always two fingers too short. No matter how much rope they get and add, you know, they have a kilometer of rope and it's two fingers too short. So Sridhar Swami, actually, one of the great commentators on the Bhagavatam, he says the two fingers, they stand for two things. First finger, the devotee's effort. You must make your effort. Second finger, the mercy of Krishna. But look at my fingers. You see, look at your own fingers. This is the my effort finger, by the way. You see, it's smaller. The Krishna's mercy finger is bigger. You see that? It's true. Have a look at your own fingers. See, there you go. There's another one. It means you got to try your best. That's just a given. You got to try your best. But ultimately, the main thing is Krishna's mercy. And you can try. Anyway, the main thing is Krishna's mercy. Yeah, it's true. The poor old Arjuna at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita sits down and gives up, actually. He gives up and just breaks down and sort of tells Krishna, you know, you want the battle won, you deal with it. So we mustn't give up, even though challenges will be there. Don't worry. No, like they say, there's nothing as sure as death and taxes. This is an old English saying. So for devotees, there's nothing so sure as you're going to get challenged. You're going to get some challenges, some tests. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, when I see, here comes a test. Here comes a test. He said, when I see, here comes a test, I think, here comes Krishna in the form of a test. Something to actually help me, although it actually challenges me. But it helps me. Tribhuvanath Prabhu told me, personally, way back in Berry Place, he told me, he asked Prabhupada once, that will Krishna ever give you a test which you just will not be able to pass? You just have to be defeated and sort of fall or something like that. And he said that Prabhupada answered, no, Krishna will not give you a test like that. He'll give you tests which you can pass, but they will test you. Otherwise, they're not tests. So, yes, there you go, devotees. It's all very interesting. Supreme Personality of God is very merciful to the devotees. Very, extremely merciful. Every step we take towards him, he takes 10 towards us. Sometimes he takes 20. Sometimes he may take 100. But we have to keep trying. Really, actually trying our best. And if we do try our best, Krishna will be merciful and we'll be able to make progress. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments, Maharaj? A comment, words of wisdom, correction, chastisement. Kishore Prabhu.
Well, usually I wouldn't know where to begin. Oh. Maharaj. Uh-huh. So maybe no question, but I...
Hare Krishna. Is it on?
It's on.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I think your concluding words rang strongly with me, that about the two fingers and about always trying our level best.
Right.
You know, I can feel wonder what's going to happen with my life. I can feel isolated. I can feel disconnected, like the plug has come out. And when I feel like that, then it doesn't feel worth living. Life doesn't feel worth living. And I sometimes wonder what's going to happen next. Usually Krishna comes in some way, shape, or form to remind me.
Right.
That indeed he loves me and that he's waiting for me.
Yes.
And that my future is indeed in my hands.
Right.
About taking responsibility, about being conscientious, and about taking the steps, walking the walk.
Right.
No one's going to do it for me. So I'm just heartened to hear you speak about the mercy being the most prominent.
Right.
And of course, I can remember the story about Prabhupada saying, I can get you in through the back door. It's a lovely story.
Right.
It's a lovely story. But at the same time, not to think that, well, I can just do nothing.
Right.
And Prabhupada's going to save me.
Right, sure.
So I had no questions particularly, but I just want to say thank you very much. It's lovely to see you again, and thanks for the reassuring words.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I remember you, 1973, January, when I just joined the temple, and I went out, I don't know, anyway, down Oxford Street, and you were leading the Harinam, playing the Mridanga. Really?
We've distributed a few BTGs together.
Thank you very much, indeed. Oh, yes, Mother Akinchana, Hare Krishna. Nice to see you.
It's lovely to see you too, Maharaj. Thank you for blessing us with your association here. I've never heard that story of the two fingers, and that's very reassuring to hear that. Thank you. And like Kishore Prabhu, the story of holding on to Prabhupada's dhoti, that's right. Very reassuring too.
Yes.
That, you know, Prabhupada said that. I do have a question to ask. When you started the talk at the beginning, you mentioned that Krishna, he reciprocates with his special devotees,
right.
And he reciprocates in ways that are special too. So it's a devil's advocate question, really. Sometimes at Christmas time, you find devotees dressing their deities like Santa Claus.
Right.
You know, in the mood of celebrating Christmas.
Yes.
So is there a fine line between speculation and a special relationship that you're serving Krishna with?
Okay, here's a one-word answer. Yes. There's a big difference. Of course, there may be, like, maybe many shades of difference also, but in principle, yes, there's definitely a difference. And, you know, we shouldn't be, we have to recognize our position. I mean, I don't mean necessarily like exactly where we are at in terms of, you know, some technical understanding, but at least we have to recognize that we are not advanced devotees, and therefore we shouldn't act generally as advanced devotees. I mean, we should follow in Prabhupada's lotus feet, follow his example, but also how he taught us. And Prabhupada, you know, he never did anything like that. You know, rather, in terms of deity worship, Srila Prabhupada instructed us that we should deal with the deity, even though, like, the deity here is Radha and Krishna, but we should deal with them kind of like they're Lakshmi and Narayan, meaning in a very respectful way, awe and reverence, and not start getting familiar with them. And, you know, like frivolous familiar with them. And because we get our little inspirations in this way and that about life and about so many things. And we may get little, you know, funny little inspirations about what to do with our, you know, quote unquote, our deities. But we should make sure we deal with our deities in very proper ways. And, you know, before doing something like that, if someone gets the inspiration that I should dress my deities like Radha and Krishna or Gaur-Nitai in a sort of Christmassy way, Father Christmassy type of way, or, you know, whatever inspiration unusual inspiration we might get. We should ask, we should do what Prabhupada says in the purport we read, which is we should approach authority and ask rather than just act on some, you know, some sort of quite unusual type of way that we have never seen before. And I'm sure, you know, someone could dress Krishna like he's going to the beach.
On a nice hot summer's day.
Sorry?
On a nice hot summer's day.
Yes, exactly. Right. I mean, there are different speculative ways that devotees could dress deities. But we shouldn't do that. We should do things systematically. I mean, not just systematically, but in authoritative ways, authorized ways. And if we don't know if something's authorized or not, we should find out. Yeah. Because, you know, deity worship is actually from Dwapara Yuga. It's not from Kali Yuga. And that means, you know, it's different from chanting the holy names, which is very particularly Kali Yuga. And in a sense, it's very flexible. Lord Chaitanya says no hard and fast rules and like that. It's very flexible. I mean, there's at least quite a degree of flexibility, and particularly the Panchatattva Mahamantra, there's great flexibility. But with deity worship, there isn't. It's like you could say the difference between chanting Hare Krishna and chanting Gayatris. Gayatris are not on the same, they're not in the same category of mantra as the Hare Krishna mantra. And, you know, and therefore you're only given them at the time of second initiation where, you know, supposedly you're somewhat more advanced and experienced and mature and sort of stable in your Krishna consciousness. But there are offenses. I mean, the offenses apply to the Gayatri mantras, but they apply more strongly than the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, you're only given them at the time of second initiation because it's a sort of more serious type of thing. So deity worship also, it's from a different era, and there are different considerations, more stringent considerations. And if you do it whimsically and, you know, sort of foolishly, you can make offenses which can set you back in your Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
To, what
just hang on a sec.
Hare Krishna. So just to add to that, there's the 2020 GBC resolution on mood of worship, which I can share with you, that it speaks to Srila Prabhupada's mood of what he wanted for deity worship in ISKCON.
Thank you. And that's from the head pujari from the Radharadnath Temple in Durban, South Africa. Hari Bol. And yes, Maharaj, at last. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Here in this past time, we really see this kind of sense of reverential approach to the Lord. And then Mahaprabhu is opening up that, you know, Krishna is full of rasa. And then you are explaining nicely in the beginning the danger of prematurely relating to Krishna like that. So definitely that's a danger. We know that. I'm just wondering, is there also a danger for a devotee to live their whole life in Krishna consciousness and remain in a reverential, respectful attitude and never... Is that also that extreme also like a danger? And I'm just wondering because... You know, you were mentioning to Kishore Prabhu 1973, and I was just thinking 50 years in Krishna consciousness, and like over that period of time, can you share anything with us in terms of approach to Krishna? And after a certain amount of time, when there's maturity, to then relate to Krishna in a more personal, natural way, and how to do that safely?
Okay, well, you know, the thing is, I'd say the first consideration is, like you mentioned, someone who for maybe their whole life in Krishna consciousness, they remain in a reverential mood. First thing is, I would say we are what we are, and we shouldn't try to become something that we're not. If through... You know, very deep, serious practice in awe and reverence, one actually starts becoming inspired in terms... Well, you know, I don't even think that's really the right thing to say under the circumstances. You know, Prabhupada, he remained in awe and reverence. He really did. You know, there were times when, I wouldn't say a deeper, but just a more sort of, I don't know, dramatic type of manifestation emerged. Yeah. Yesterday we played the tape, not the tape, but just a little recording of Prabhupada talking about Sanatan Goswami and Madan Mohan. You may know that one. And Prabhupada says that Madan Mohan complains, you know, why you just give me dry chapati and there's not even any salt? And Sanatan Goswami, I mean, I could play it actually, but Sanatan Goswami says, sir, I'm an old man. What can I do? Please accept it. And Prabhupada says, because of the devotion, the Lord accepted it. And then Prabhupada expresses himself that, you know, I'm very lowly, please accept. And Prabhupada starts crying. It's very, you know, quite a thing. So there were definitely occasions when Prabhupada manifested, you know, you could say a deeper mood, but, you know, it's not the right term. But he was just, he couldn't stop himself, actually. Yeah, it just came out. It's there all the time. But often, not often, but practically the whole time, like I'd say 99% or more of the time, Prabhupada, the way he conducted himself with us, and, you know, those of us who had at least some experience with Prabhupada coming here, we saw that Prabhupada was always in a very, you could say, very sober mood. Occasionally he would joke. There were times when he joked. But not just joke. Like, I think it was Krishna Vesha, Devi Dasi, if I remember correctly, right here. Prabhupada was about, I think he was about to leave somewhere. Prabhupada sat and the devotees came. And she or one lady, I think it was her, but one lady asked Prabhupada, is there Krishna consciousness in hell? And Srila Prabhupada, he said, and I'll try and imitate or, you know, something, the way he said it, Prabhupada said, London is hell. Yes. And you could see, you know, there was an emotion in it of humor. But it's true. it's Krishna conscious. It's not just a joke. But yeah, London is hell. So, you know, as one practices, provided one does one's best, and like we said, different individuals' best is different from other individuals' best. And, you know, there's the story of Hanuman and the squirrel or spider or whatever it is, some little creature. You know, that story applies. Yeah. So someone can do a lot more in service of whatever type. And others, they can't. They can't. So, but everyone should do their best. And yeah, really try and do their best. Because you can't really do better than your best. There's not like bestest best or better best. There's just best. And then if a devotee does their best, actually, then Krishna, who is very kind, and as Kishore Prabhu said, it's nice to know that Krishna is waiting for us. He's watching us. What's Kishore up today? Oh, he's in the class. That's nice. Yeah, Krishna's watching all of us and thinking about us and how we're doing and what we could do next and how he might intervene in some way or other. So in due course, more will be revealed. I mean, Krishna will reveal more. And one should wait for it to be revealed rather than trying to sort of and not make it reveal itself, but certainly not to imitate, like to practice. There were times when devotees actually tried to do like that. Someone, I forget whose name it was, he was in the guest house in Vrindavan practicing to be a peacock, and someone happened to catch him. Can't remember who it was, but some relatively senior person actually at that time. Of course, in those days, senior meant you've been a devotee like 5 years or something, then, you know, you're senior. I mean, you know, I've been a devotee 50 years. Kishore Prabhu, 50-something years. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a new devotee. I went once, I was taken to a monastery near Milan. I was visiting Milan temple. And they took me in, they knew the people. And so we met one friendly monk. At that point, I'd been a devotee or been in ISKCON, say, 40 years or something. So I asked him, how long you been a monk? He's an old man. And he said, 62 years. And I realized, oh, I'm a new devotee. And don't start thinking you're too senior, you know, at any point, really. But Krishna's kind, and he understands us better than we understand ourselves. So if we try to serve and practice, actually to the best of our ability, he'll reveal what needs to be revealed. He'll definitely do that. Just there's less than no doubt about that. And we should just rely on him and definitely not try to sort of soup things up ourselves, because we'll just make a mess. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Right. Okay. I think prasadam takes precedence. So we should stop. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.